Well, we do have a special treat for you this morning. Alexander Adelson serves with Jews for Jesus in Tel Aviv. In fact, he helps in a very great way there because he leads up that division in Tel Aviv. He's been with Jews for Jesus since 2011, and he's been there at Tel Aviv as a leader since 2017. His wife, Svenlana, is back in Tel Aviv, as well as his two children. He's with us here. He's traveling through the States for a little bit, and then he'll be heading back, and he's going to be back in Poland and Ukraine as well, where he was at earlier. And if you were here in Sunday school, you got to hear some fascinating things about that. But at this time, I'm going to first watch a little video clip. It's just a two-minute clip or so about his Jews for Jesus and their work, and then he's going to come up and share with us about the Passover.
Jesus seemed like he could be the Messiah, but I'm Jewish. The person said to me, have you ever heard of Jews for Jesus?
Well, as a Jewish person, when I started to follow Jesus, people would question if you're still Jewish, if you believe in Jesus.
What I wish someone had told me when I first came to faith in Jesus is that I could have a thriving Jewish identity and a thriving faith in Jesus together, and not have to choose between the two.
The reality is, all of the first believers in Jesus were Jewish. They saw him as the promise of the Messiah.
I want to invite you to join Jews for Jesus as we relentlessly pursue God's plan for the salvation of the Jewish people.
Most Jewish people in the world have never heard the gospel, and together we get to change that.
You make it possible for me as a missionary to engage with not yet believing Jewish people and to tell them that God loves them.
And in a sense, it's not really us doing it, it's him doing it. We're just the ones who are carrying the message.
Go and tell. That's what Jews for Jesus is best known for. It's that proclamation of the gospel out on the streets, meeting one-to-one. Come and see. And that is where we invite Jewish people to come into an environment, a community, a small group, a Bible study, and they can see the dynamic of a vibrant community of Jewish believers in Jesus. Love and serve. There's so many needs. And so we go out there lovingly feeding people, even as Jesus fed and met needs. And it opens people up to the gospel.
Through your support, we can show Jewish people how beautiful God is, how beautiful Jesus is, and how beautiful the gospel is.
Every week around the world, Jews for Jesus welcomes new Jewish brothers and sisters into the family of Messiah.
I'm so thankful for people like you who love the Jewish people and want them to see who Jesus is.
If your heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, you're going to find yourself loving the same things that God loves. You're going to enter into his passion for his people.
Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that we've been waiting for. All that the Jewish prophets have talked about, all that God has spoken to us, every Jewish person deserves to hear the truth about Jesus. We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. Come and see.
Friends, I'm so proud and glad to be here with you tonight. I'm sorry, my voice is down. I speak too much. So I'm here from Tel Aviv, actually. I arrived a week ago and to spend this special week and special Sunday with you, because this Friday, Jewish people around the world, everywhere, will celebrate the Passover. But only a small group of people, the Messianic Jews, will see here the Messiah Jesus. I'm serving together with my wife in Tel Aviv in Jews for Jesus. And think about it. In Israel, right now, living about 6.7 million Jewish people. And only 0.2, yes, this is the correct number, 0.2% of them know about Yeshua. It is a small group of people. Something about 15,000 people around Israel who believe in Jesus. Very small number, but this is also an encouraging number, because then we can share the gospel with 99% of Jewish population of Israel to share the gospel. So it's amazing. Yeah, and I would love to invite you to be with us as we do in Go and Tell. So We go on the streets, we share the gospel, and only in last 2 years we handed out and delivered 1,500 books of the New Testament. Why do we do so? Because we want to share the gospel. We want to deliver these books and to open the conversation with these Jewish people. But moreover, you cannot find the copy of the New Testament in the bookshops of Israel. That's why it's our great privilege to give this to them and to lead them to know Yeshua. And we are doing this through Come and See. Come and See is the presentation we are doing. It's a galleries, it's a webinars we conduct, and discussion groups, and a lot of ministry we are doing on a weekly basis with small groups, with the one-on-one. All this to make these people know about Yeshua and about our faith. Love and serve, it's everywhere. You can share the gospel, but sometimes you just need to show the love of Jesus to these people. Because once they see you as a believer, they see the love you can show to them. You can come and help to someone. You can bring a package of food. You can help and to serve at the border with Ukraine to share your love with these people. They can see the love of Messiah Jesus through you. So keep praying for us. Keep praying for what we are doing. This is my family, my wife Svetlana, and our two kids, Daniel and Eliana. They're waiting for me in Israel. It's a very intensive period of ministry for us. I will be back for a couple days. My wife will go to Poland, and then I will go there. So I want to invite you to pray for us. As we share the gospel on the streets of Israel and in Poland now, we faced many times spiritual and sometimes physical opposition as we're doing this. So I want to invite you, before you leave, to take this card. On the, there you can find a picture of me and my wife. And I know we are a nice couple, but I want to have this card, not just because of that. I want you to see our prayer requests and to keep praying for us. You can take this card, you can put it in your Bible or to put it on your refrigerator, and then you'll remember to pray for us and for Jews for Jesus in Israel. So before you leave, do this, and I will be at my table. Feel free to ask me questions. I would love to meet you later at the and to share the meal with you. So now, let's start. I want to read from Luke 22nd chapter, beginning on the 7th verse. We'll read only a couple verses. We read, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it.' And the verse 14, 'And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him.' The first night of Passover begins a 7-day holiday called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. During that time, we eat nothing that contains any leaven or yeast. Why no leaven? Well, throughout the Bible, leaven is frequently used as a symbol of sin. In olden times, it was a small piece of leaven used to ferment an entire portion of dough. It was the leaven that caused the dough to rise, to become puffed up. Just as sin causes us to become puffed up in our own eyes. So we eat no leaven as a way of saying we want to break a daily sin cycle in our own lives. That's why in many Jewish homes for up to 6 weeks prior to Passover, the house undergoes a complete spring cleaning. The removal of the cakes, cookies, breads, cereals, anything that has any leaven in it. And now, this is usually the work of the woman of the house. But did you notice? Luke says Jesus sent two men to prepare the Passover. Perhaps he sent two men because in Judaism, it's the man who is standing before the Lord, not only when it comes to prayer, but when it comes to ceremonial preparation as well. So if you think about it, that means the men should be doing the cleaning during these 6 weeks. But we have a very good Jewish tradition that gets the men out of this predicament. And now true. The house is spotless because the woman has spent last 6 weeks cleaning and removing every speck of leaven. Well, almost every speck that is. You see, she's taking a few crumbs and she's hidden them somewhere in the house. And it's up to the men to find them. So the night before the Passover, the man comes home and takes up some rather strange-looking cleaning tools. They include a napkin, a wooden spoon, and the feather. And he goes on what we call bdikat hametz, the search for leaven. Now, where could those crumbs be? Anywhere, in the basement, up in the attic, behind the refrigerator. But fortunately for men, the woman is good enough to hide them exactly where she hid them the year before. So friends, I'm married 10 years already, so I know where the crumbs is. Finally, the man discovers the crumbs. And with the very steady hands, he sweeps the crumbs into the spoon with the feather. Since the crumbs represent sin, the man is not permitted to touch them. Instead, he wraps them into the napkin and would take them down to the large bonfire in the courtyard of synagogue. All the men of the congregation meet there, and each one throws his bundle of leaven into the flames. Then the man returns home, where he proudly proclaims, "Now I have cleansed my house of all leaven." But just to be certain, he adds, "May all manner of leaven, which I have never seen nor removed, be considered null and void, and as the dust of the earth." Amen. The house has been cleansed, which is now ready for the Passover celebrations. On Passover, the head of the household puts on special ceremonial garments. He wears a white robe called the kittel. This robe looked like a robe a priest or king might have worn in ancient times. Jewish men often covered their head as a sign of respect before God. But tonight, the Passover night, instead of wearing the usual skull cap or kippah, the head of the household puts on something a little more elaborate. It is called the mitre. And it's a symbol of the crown, a royal robe and the symbol of the crown, because tonight the head of the household is like a king. And as a king, he guides his family through the traditional Passover Seder. Seder is a Hebrew word meaning order, because the Passover celebrations follows a specific order of service. That order is recorded here in this book called the Agada, which means the telling. I do not have Agada for everyone, but I hope you receive a brochure which looks like this. If you don't have one, I believe there is one at the on my table, so you can take it so we can follow the presentation. Friends, I see everything is about ready. There is a customary greeting at Passover. "Let all who are hungry come and eat. And soon we will get a very good meal. But first, let me start with you with something else." The Passover meal begins with the lighting of the candles, which is usually an honor and the duty of the woman of the house. After lighting the candles, the woman recites a traditional Hebrew prayer, which you should find in your brochure. I'll say it in Hebrew, and I ask the women to read the prayer in English with me. It goes like this: Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, asher kitshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzevanu le'adlik ner shel yom tov. Amen. Let's read it, blessing over the candles. "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us by his commandments and commands us to kindle the festival lights." We Jewish believers in Jesus might say a messianic prayer in addition to the traditional one. It goes like this: "Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us through Yeshua the Messiah, the light of the world." I think it's fitting that the woman kindled these lights, for it can remind us that the Messiah, the light of the world, would not come from the seed of man, but from the seed of woman and by will of God. As the prophet Isaiah foretold, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us, a light to light the Gentile and the glory of thy people Israel. Passover isn't just a meal. It's a great meal, and isn't just a service, it's a ceremony. And while a meal and the service might take 1 or 2 hours, the Passover celebrations might take a total of 4 hours. So we'll finish here before, I don't know, 2, 3 p.m. We will finish a little before. During that time, each adult will drink from his cup and refill it 4 times. The first one is the Kiddush cup, or cup of sanctification. Then come the cup of plagues. Then the third cup, the cup of redemption, which is the focal point of an entire ceremony. And here is the fourth cup, the cup of Alel, cup of praise. And all service starts with the first cup, when the host offers a blessing for the rest of the service to follow him. Holding up the Kiddush cup aloft, he recites a blessing. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen. The service has begun. And now it is the time for the youngest person to come forward. He or she will ask a traditional 4 questions, which you should find in your brochure. And the first question goes like this. Why is this night different from all other nights? On all other nights, we eat leavened or unleavened bread. Why on this night do we eat only unleavened bread? Let me answer the first part of the question, why this night is different. Those of us who know the story of Passover are obligated to respond. This is because of what the Lord did for me when he brought me out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, when he redeemed me with the mighty hand and outstretched arm. Redemption is the very heart of Passover. But Passover imparts more than God's message of redemption. It imparts God's means of redemption through the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. Our fathers were instructed to take a spotless lamb, to roast it whole without breaking any of its bones, and then to apply its blood on the doorposts of their homes, to the top of the doorposts, and then to the 2 side posts. Because of our obedience in God's commands and because of our faith in the effectiveness of his provision, we were saved from the 10th plague to befall the land of Egypt. For when the Lord saw the blood on our doors, what happens? Passover, in Hebrew Pesach, the holiday which commemorates times when death passed over the house of Israel. Because of the blood of the lamb, the Passover lamb. What a mighty act of redemption. But it is only a picture of even greater redemption through the sacrifice of another Passover lamb, the Messiah, Jesus. For just as none of the bones of that first Passover lamb were broken, so none of Jesus' bones were broken at his death. And just as our fathers had to apply in faith the blood of the lamb on the doorpost of their homes, so each one of us must apply in faith the blood of Messiah on the doorposts of our hearts. Amen? And now to the second part of the question, why on this night do we eat only unleavened bread? Our fathers, in their haste to leave Egypt, had to take their bread with them while it was still flat. One of the items on the Passover table called the matzotosh. Inside of it, 3 layers of unleavened bread, the matzo. Each one of them separate from other by some cloth. And at Passover, the head of the household removes the middle layer and recites a blessing. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen. Then the man breaks it in two. He set one part aside and give to another part the special name, the afikomen. Afikomen, it's not a Hebrew word, it's a Greek word. And it means that which comes later. And what precisely what happens? The afikomen isn't eaten yet. It comes later. Now, it's wrapped in the cloth and hidden from view, buried. No one else at the table knows where the afikomen is hidden. But later on, we should find it. Else, the service cannot be concluded. And now we are going to read 2 more questions. Please follow me. On all other nights, we eat vegetables and herbs of all kinds. Why on this night do we eat only bitter herbs? On all other nights, we are not required to dip the herbs once. Why on this night do we dip them twice? Let me explain it to you by showing you this. This is the Seder plate. And as you can see from the picture in your brochures, a symbolic piece of food from the Passover table placed in each one of these compartments. All of these symbols are part of the picture of redemption. The first one called karpas, or greens, and it's usually parsley or lettuce. These greens represent life, but before we eat them, we dip them into salt water, which represents the tears of life. So by dipping, we're reminded that the life without redemption is a life immersed in tears. This is the chazeret, the root of bitter herb, and it's usually an onion or horseradish. This item reminds us that the root of life is bitter, as it was for our fathers in Egypt. This is the maror, the bitter herb itself, freshly ground horseradish. And now, by the tradition, we're supposed to eat a full teaspoon of horseradish. Any volunteers? Do you know what happens when you eat it?
Yeah.
You cry. You have no choice in the matter. It's just between the horseradish and your sinuses, and the horseradish always wins. Like the chazeret, the maror reminds us how bitter life is without redemption. But friends, in the way of contrast, we have the karoset, which represents mortar, which our fathers, the Hebrew people, used when they had made bricks for Pharaoh. It is made up of chopped apples, raisins, honey, nuts, and it tasted delicious. And now you may be wondering, why such a sweet mixture is used to represent such bitter toil? Our rabbis explain, even the most bitter labor is sweetened by the promise of redemption. Friends, this is not an Easter egg. This egg has a special name, the Chagigah, the name of special temple sacrifice in Jerusalem. We roast the egg just as sacrifices were roasted, and that turned it brown. The Chagigah is a token of grief to our people, grief over the destruction of the second temple. During the Seder, it is broken open, sliced, and given to each person at the table, and then dipped into salt water, which represents what?
Tears,
that's right. Thank you. But Chagigah is not only a token of grief, it is also a symbol of a new life. The last item on the Passover plate called the Zroah, and a shank bone of the lamb. Passover, sometimes known as the feast of the Passover lamb. But in last 2,000, almost 2,000 years, at Passover, lamb isn't served. You see, the lamb which used to be eaten were the Passover sacrifices. But in 70 AD, something happens. Pastor Dave, please don't help us. You know it. What happens in 70 AD? Thank you so much. You know it. The temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, and so was the altar where the Passover sacrifices. From that time to this day, no sacrifices have been made, and so no lamb is served at Passover. Instead, the presence of these two symbols, the shank bone and the egg, raises an interesting question. With no temple, no altar, no sacrifices, how it is possible to atone for our sin? For the law of Moses states it very clearly. I have given to you on the altar to make forgiveness for your souls, for it is the blood by the reason of the life that makes atonement. Leviticus 17:11. In our days, both Jews and Gentiles might say, you know, it was important 2,000 years ago, and it doesn't have any bearing on our lives today. If not, why does the Haggadah, the telling, instruct us to take the story of redemption personally, as though as each one of us were being brought out of the land of Egypt? Once, about 2,000 years ago, in Israel lived Jewish men. Who was that man? No, it was John the Baptist. But one day while he baptizing people in the River Jordan, he saw another Jewish man, his cousin, named
Jesus.
Thank you so much. You know it. Then John declared, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's how, friends, redemption, not through the blood of lambs, but redemption through the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, the Lamb of God, the Messiah, Jesus. And now this is time to read the fourth, the last question. On all other nights, be it sitting upright or reclining, why on this night do we recline? Our fathers were instructed to eat that first Passover meal with their loins girded, with their sandals on their feet, and with their staff in hand, ready to go at a moment's notice. But tonight, we all relax and recline on pillows. You see, in ancient Middle Eastern society, only the free could recline at dinner, only the redeemed. And it is the time for the second cup, the cup of plagues. And in Jewish tradition, a full cup of wine represents a complete joy. But in one sense, our joy is not completed. And in this point in the service, we dip our finger into our cups and let 10 drops fall onto our plates as we recite what? 10 plagues are poured out on Egyptians. We mourn their loss and express sorrow over their destruction. But actually, friends, Passover night is a night of rejoicing, a night of thanksgiving, a night to praise Lord. And tonight, I can praise Lord, and I hope we can praise together, not just because death passed over the house of Israel, and not just because he redeemed them out of the land of Egypt, but tonight we all can celebrate and rejoice because he redeemed us through Yeshua for salvation. Amen? Amen. Friends, it is a time for the third cup. But before that, it's a time for the great meal. You know, Jewish people say, they tried to kill us. We've been saved. Hallelujah, let's eat. So we can spend a few hours having a great meal. But once it is done, we don't eat nothing that night anymore. And we come to the third cup, the focal point of an entire ceremony. But friends, the service cannot be proceed just yet because something is missing. Earlier, something was broken, buried, and now need to be brought back. Daf Yikomen. Once it is found, it is returned to the head of the household, and it's broken again. Each person at the table receives a piece of it. And this olive scythe piece, taken along with the third cup, the cup of redemption. And I'm sure that it is look familiar to you. Yes? For it is an origin of our communion service. And not only that, consider this. Where else can we find a clearer picture of our Messiah Jesus than in this custom concerning Daf Yikomen, which was broken, buried, and then brought back? Even the matzah itself, which is unleavened, a symbol of a sinless nature, speaks of Jesus. Rabbis make very strict rules to prepare the matzo suitable for the Passover. One of them is that the matzo must be pierced. And if you look at the matzo in front of the light, you see it's pierced. God speaking through the prophet Zechariah said, "They shall look upon me whom I have pierced." But I can see our Messiah symbolically, not only in the Daf Yikomen, but in the matzo tosh as well. Do you remember this pouch? With three layers of unleavened bread from which the Daf Yikomen is drawn, there required a bit of disagreement among our rabbis about the meaning of this very strange pouch, the mysterious three in one. Some say that the Matzah Tosh represents three patriarchs of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But why is the meal of matzah broken, buried, and then brought back? They cannot explain it. The origin of this tradition has been lost. That's why we have a couple competing explanations. But I want to give you one more explanation with its roots in the first century. There are three layers of unleavened bread here, and yet they form a unity, a tri-unity. A Hebrew word which means just such a unity is echad. And it brings to my mind words of God given to us through Moses, who declared, Shema Israel Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. And the word used for one in this sentence is echad, a unity. And at Passover, the head of the household removes the middle layer of this unity, this Echad. It is made visible, while the other two remain hidden from our view. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He came to his own, but those who were his own did not receive him. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. As a believer, I know that the unity of the Matzatosh bears witness to the unity of one God, revealed himself in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if someone here tonight, today, is still not sure why is the middle matzah broken, buried, and then brought back? It is because of Jesus was broken, buried, and then brought back. This is my body, Jesus said, broken for you and you and all of us. The fruit of the vine at Passover, usually red. Our rabbis explained to remind us of the precious blood of that first Passover lamb, sacrificed to redeem us from bondage and slavery to Pharaoh. But in the same way, the precious blood of another Passover lamb, the Messiah Jesus, sacrificed to redeem us from bondage and slavery to sin. It was concerning this cup, the third cup, the cup taken after dinner when our Messiah Jesus said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." This is the very new covenant promised to us by God through the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 31. The broken piece of the Afikoman and the cup of redemption taken together in remembrance of body and blood of the Passover lamb. And my Passover lamb is Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
And now we come to the fourth cup, the cup of Hallelujah, cup of praise. And all of you know the word Hallelujah, which means praise the Lord. And the first part of the word is Hallel, which means praise. We praise the Lord for all he done for our fathers in Egypt. Moreover, for all he done for us, for each one of us, 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The service is almost done. We finished all four cups, and I'm not sure what's the regulations in Texas, but if you drink four cups, we stay at home. So remember, if you're going to celebrate it this Friday, don't drive. We taste from all of the items. Hey, guys, you still want the horseradish? You can do it now if you want. But there is one last cup which I haven't told you about, the cup from which no one drinks, the cup of Elijah. In fact, in many Jewish homes at Passover, an entire place setting is left untouched. All this for the prophet Elijah. Why? Why all this longing for the prophet Elijah? Well, it is recorded by the prophet Malachi that before the Messiah comes, that Eliyahu Anavi, Elijah the prophet, will return. And so each year at Passover, a child goes to the door, open it wide, hoping the prophet accept the invitation, enter the home, and announce the coming of Messiah. As a believer, I know that Elijah has returned. For when Jesus speak of prophet John, he said of him, "If you care to accept him, he himself is Elijah, who was to come. The prophet, the forerunner of Messiah has come, and so the Messiah himself, Yeshua, Jesus, the Passover Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, both Jew and Gentile, Christ and the Passover." Amen. Friends, thank you so much for coming. I hope you enjoyed the presentation. I hope you learned something new. And now you understand how and why is this meal is so important for every Jewish person and so for every believer in Christ. Because all this is about Jesus, is about Yeshua. And as you return to your homes and you meet your friends, your Jewish families, you can tell them that you got a chance to participate in this traditional Seder. And now you have a couple of questions to them. And ask them about the three layers of unleavened bread. You can ask them, why do they drink the third cup? And have they know that Jesus used this third cup when he reclined at dinner? And why all this is pointing on someone very, very special. On Jesus. If you have any questions, you will meet me at my table. I want to remind you to take our card to pray for us, for the ministry of Jews for Jesus, as we really need it, always, especially during this period of time. And if you want to receive updates from me from Israel, you can, to this section, give me your email, and I will send you updates from time to time, and you'll get a chance to hear more on what we are doing in Israel. Thank you so much, friends. You want to close with the word of prayer, Pastor? Thank you. Okay, so let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to meet and to celebrate together the Passover, which is pointing on Jesus, on all he done for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. God, we ask for your blessing for this, for us on this week, and we ask for your special blessing for Jewish people who are going to celebrate this Passover. We want to ask that you will open their eyes to see you, to see Jesus in this meal this year. Thank you, God. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.